Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. It has been a minute and a half since we last spoke to all y'all.
Missed you.
Hope you've been doing well. We've been doing good, I think. I'd like to think so. We're here. We're living. We're doing
living.
Well. Yeah.
I sound like a hype man right now.
Yeah. Living.
Living.
What? Huh.
What about it? Living.
Very exciting, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody, and the whole wide world. Very exciting stuff. The playoffs are here.
They're here.
They are finally here. So we are going to give you our picks for the first round. We're not going to go too wildly in depth. We're going to keep it to a single episode this time, unlike last season. I think it was like a 14-part miniseries. So we're going to keep it tight. Keep it tight. Before we dive into that, before we get to the meat and potatoes, we have to have our salad first. And that salad is, how you doing, my man?
Groovy. I'm doing doing better than a bottom nickel. I don't know if that's a phrase, but
I have no follow-up questions.
You know, I don't know what that was, but I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Little family reunion. Got to see my brother for the first time in person in 3 years, basically. So it's been a great little break. And if that's everybody's wondering, where you been, Mitts and Twigs? Been doing personal stuff. You know what I mean? It's been busy. Oh, yeah. Life's been busy. It's been crazy. But enough about me. How are you?
I'm doing great, flying high. You know, having good times. We missed some time because life has been busy over here. I was, my part-time side gig that I used to pay the bills, because obviously this is my first and foremost, my passion, my side gig that I go to 40 hours a week, that they had sent me on a little conference. So I got to pop down to hot Atlanta. And now we're recording this episode on a timeline, because your old boy Mitts, jet setter that I am, am heading off to another little vacation. This one's an actual vacation. You know, phone's off, no work, nobody dares reach me vacation. That I'll tell you all about after the fact. I don't want to tell you right now because I don't want to get mobbed by the fans. You know, it's I don't want to blow up that spot, you know. I got a little vacation. I'll be back next week. Maybe we can squeeze out another episode mid playoff series. Hopefully they don't all end in four
games.
All sweeps. Oh, man. I have to move my flights up. So life is good. Playoffs are here. Fantasy is done. We can finally sit back and relax and enjoy ourselves. It's the best time of the year.
It's my wallet's a little heavier. Feels good. We won't talk about why. Humble brag.
No.
Whatever. No. First of all, you were in Atlanta, in Georgia?
Yeah.
Dude, how was the weather?
It was nice. I spent most of it in a conference center. I think I got outside to walk to the Cheesecake Factory. Check that one off the bucket list.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cheesecake Factory, hey?
Was the food? Shout out Burkhead. Shout out the Burkhead Cheesecake Factory. It was everything you would expect.
Yeah, see, like my small community, like 45 minutes away, had a Cheesecake Factory when I was growing up. And I remember, like, my mom would be like, "Oh yeah, Russ and I were just going out for dinner. Gonna go on a little date at the Cheesecake Factory." I ate there once, hated it. No disrespect, Cheesecake Factory lovers, whatever y'all are into, but that shit is shit. Garbage. Sorry.
I mean, my food was fine.
Did you have cheesecake?
I didn't have any cheesecake.
Oh my god.
So I definitely ruined my experience right there. But food is okay. The beers were cold. You know.
That's all that matters.
It was a place that served food, I can tell you that much. Little side tangent. I went there because coworkers wanted to go there, and I was enjoying spending time with them. It was not a bad evening by any stretch of the imagination. But generally speaking, I don't go to restaurants, or I don't like to go to restaurants that have like more than, let's say, a second page on their menu.
Food cost, baby.
Food
Like
costs.
think about that. Like, how much are they spending? Like, there's no way that one page of those dishes are going to be like excellent. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Oh, no.
Like, they're
There's no
all
way.
just subpar dishes. You know what I mean?
There's no
Like,
way. It's, yeah, anybody that's worked with anybody or known a chef of any kind, like they can do, even like the best chefs in the world can like regularly pump out a couple of great A dishes.
yeah.
I'm not confident that any of the best chefs in the world are working at the Cheesecake Factory, working on some of the 50 plus dishes that they're pumping out at any given time. Like it's, there's just no,
Yeah.
this is having spent time in the kitchen, working in a professional kitchen, and I know you have too. Just so anybody's listening, I'm not saying this as I don't think it's possible. Personal experience tells me it's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
It's a recipe for
Not,
disaster.
yeah,
So,
it's not practical to me.
if there's more than a second page, immediately I'm like, oh, most of these are landmines.
Yeah.
Most of these are not
Yeah.
good.
You don't, it's danger. It's
Yeah.
danger. You're looking for like where the fingerprints kind of like stop showing up on the pages, so you know how
Yeah.
far usually people get. Yeah, no, it's
Yep.
not good. It's not good. You know what you should do if you find yourself in this situation? Pack up your gatherings, grab your child or your wife or your husband or whatever, your dog, right? And find a different place. Because you know
Yeah.
what? You're gonna waste your money. And I just saying, look at us. We're both telling you. We're both telling you. Quantity over quality, ain't it? Ain't it,
Nope.
kids? It ain't
Nope.
it. That's what we're saying. That was a good tangent. I liked it.
Oh, that's great, eh?
I forgot about those. I forgot about the multi-page. Like, we have a restaurant in Lethbridge called the I won't say the name. And then screw it. The Firestone. It's in a
Oh.
it's in a hotel. And it's like 4 pages. And every time I go there, like one time I got their beef tenderloin, and they cut their carrots and bat nets or whatever, and basically it was like, just you could build a house with them. They were so firm, the foundation, like there was the foundation for a house. I was like, what am I building here? Like popsicle sticks, like houses with these carrots? Like, this is crazy. Yeah, there's 4 pages.
Oh.
Yeah, grab your stuff, get the heck out, get the heck out. It's not worth it. It's not worth
No,
it. They ain't
it's not
making it with
happening.
love. They ain't making it with love.
No,
Shit.
they might have one or two good dishes on there. I'm not saying that they can't cook good food, but there's a good chance that most of those dishes are not
We should do a food cut.
good.
We should do a food cast.
Oh, I don't know. We already complain enough on our hockey podcast. I don't think we would be much more positive or happy. But maybe we could slide in some food moments there.
Maybe.
I know that I'm sure I'm going to have some good stories for food coming back from where I'm
I'm
coming
ex
from.
I'm ex I'm not even gonna say it. I'm not gonna ruin this for you. I can't, like, the suspense is gonna kill our listeners.
Before we dive into the main course, we had our salad. Let's have a little amuse-bouche.
Ooh.
Ty, for you and myself, we no longer have a dog in the race, so to speak. Our dogs ain't hunting no more.
Nope.
They're lame. How you feel about the season you just had as a Calgary Flames fan? How do you feel about the future?
Yeah, I think right now you come like there's exciting things. We gotta watch Dustin Wolf in the last game 82, play stellar against, yes, was it the San Jose Sharks? Yeah, but still, those are professional NHL athletes on that team, right? Even though they suck, they still made it that far.
They only
And
suck compared to the other good
yeah,
players.
exactly. And it was impressive to see him play. We got to see another top end prospect, Matthew Coronato, play in the last game. That was exciting too. That was probably like the most exciting game, which is sad to say when your team was in the playoff race or a so-called playoff race. They were never really in the hunt. Everybody just kept saying they were in the hunt, and watch out for those Calgary Flames. If they get in, they'll beat some really good team. How they lost 4 times to freaking Chicago? How are they going to beat anybody good in the playoffs? Like, we all knew this. Like, the rink wasn't sold out. I went to the Chicago game, had a went to a convention, and then went to the Chicago game. It wasn't even sold out. It was pathetic. I was like, this is a team that the fans are not buying in. I would say confusion. I would say that's where my head's at. You got to figure out what you're doing with Jonathan Huberdeau. They have like a bunch of top end UFAs coming up next summer, not this coming off summer, but next summer. Like, what are you going to do with them? Tyler Toffoli, Elias Lindholm, Tanev, Backlund, who had his player exit meeting today, basically said, "I'm out of here," which is really sad to see. He's been around forever, almost 1,000 games with the Calgary Flames. So yeah, I would say confusion. And what my biggest thing, and I tweeted about this the other day, is I just want a plan. Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, are they retooling? Are they rebuilding? Are we staying status quo? I want to hear from the owner. I want to hear from the general manager. Who the hell's our general manager? I want to know what Daryl's going to do to change, because there's no way Daryl's walking away from an $8.4 million contract. Right? He's got 2 years, $8.4 million. He ain't walking away. They're also not going to fire him either, right? Like, that's not how that works. So how are these changes going to be implemented? How are we going to get, like, this team's culture better, the media better? And also what they need to figure out is, why are players not wanting to stay in Calgary? You know what I mean? If Elias Lindholm said today, which he did, that he's got a year left and he'll kind of figure it out, that doesn't sound very promising, right? You have Michael Backlund. I get it. He's been here for a while. Adam Fox, Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau, TJ Brody. Like, the list goes on and on and on and on. And the only way you get somebody to stay in Calgary is you overpay for Nazem Kadri. You overpay for Jonathan Huberdeau. You know what? They didn't overpay for Mackenzie Weegar, and I'm super happy that they got him on a contract. I really like Mackenzie Weegar. You overpay Blake Coleman. You overpaid James Neal. So do you see the trend here? Troy Brower. Nobody's coming to Calgary on a discount. So you got to either figure out, are we going to rebuild through the draft? Are we going to, like, let our prospects play, which Daryl has been dead set against, right? I'm not going to. Just give me the freaking plan. That's all. I'll watch every game. I'll watch every game if they're sucking. I'll watch every game if they're, like, just retooling. But you know what? This status quo of mediocrity is just going to lead to the same thing that a rebuild would do. Less butts in seats in your arena. It leads to the same thing. Mm-hmm. You see successful franchises over and over. Think about this. The New Jersey Devils have been to a cup in, what was it, 2012? Tore it all the way down, and now are a contender. In the same time, Calgary's been to the second round twice or something like that. So you gotta have a plan here. You get, like, and you'll talk about St. Louis, how that they've shown their cards and what they're doing, and that's exciting, right? But I don't know. That's where I'm at. I just want a plan. So that's my terrible season. On to you, sir. As I take up all the time.
I feel you, because I think that's exactly what, you know, the Blues do have, and this is probably the second, you know, kind of rebuild, retool that Army's been a part of in St. Louis. Yeah. Obviously, the last one capped off exactly how you would like it to. So that's bodes well. But also, I mean, you know, we moved out some older guys, some older pieces that, you know, beloved players, but they've still got, you know, let's say playoff hockey left in them, and the Blues as a franchise just doesn't right now. They great comments at the end of the season from Tory Krug about how grateful he was for the fans who continue to show up and support them even into the very last game, and how much they appreciated that. And that's exactly that, like getting that good in hockey environment fan players can appreciate, because season's over, but the guys are trying, the product is entertaining, and there's a plan. So that's going to be something to look forward to. I like to think about that and think about all the draft picks and the trust that I've got in Army, because when I look at the things, like when I actually look at like cap friendly and stuff, and I see how tied up we are with some of these guys with term and big contracts, it's like, well, I know we're not likely going to be good next year, but I still don't like to see the 5-6 years well into the 30s for some of those defensemen that aren't even playing great hockey right now. But still, it's hopeful. You know, Jake Neighbors finished the season relatively well. Army brought in, was it Kapanen from Pittsburgh? And he played decent for the stretch down, probably better than he's played for a while in Pittsburgh. Vrana over, who, you know, he played great for us a little, like, you know, not like meaningful, but like he was scoring, he was in there, he was being a positive player.
Vrana had like a goal every other game.
Yeah,
he had 10 goals in 20 games.
Yeah, I was like, yeah,
I would love to know what the heck happened in Detroit. I would love to know, because he was an elite sniper in Washington.
Yeah,
I would love to know what happened in Detroit, especially in a team that like doesn't have a plethora of snipers. They just let this guy go. And again, St. Louis does it so well. The Bucci trade, nobody talks about it, is one of the biggest steals in the recent like history of trades, right? Like there's no trade that was more lopsided than that one.
And what's crazy about that trade is one of the pieces that we sent for Buchnevich, Sammy Blais, we got back this year. Yeah. And his numbers from his time in St. Louis, I think he spent like a third of the season with us, and his numbers were higher than the 2/3 of the season he played with New York. Like he looked like a completely different player. It was the conversation was like, what was New York doing with him? Like that's a good team with good players, and he couldn't make it happen there, but put him right back in St. Louis and just boom, he's back out there playing his game, playing great, being an impact player. So that's awesome to see. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think that especially when you expect that you're going to be kind of mediocre for a couple of years, at least you can have some, you know, some young talent in the pipeline already with 2 first-round draft picks in the upcoming draft. Great. A small chance at Bedard, you know, barely in there, but still got a chance. And the players that we have right now are exciting and are going to be entertaining and are going to put it like it. So it's still going to be watchable hockey. So yeah, I mean, obviously it's never like, you never want to say you're excited that your team missed the playoffs, because you know, the rebuild is just beginning, but it already looks pretty darn good. And we've got goaltending prospects like already like about to come up. So, yeah. Quite a bit of optimism for my outlook, and I don't speak for all Blues fans. You can go to the Reddit to find some of the other perspectives out there, but yeah, I think it's pretty optimistic, all things considered. Are you on mute there, pal?
Oh, I am on mute. This whole time I've been talking. What I would say is I feel like there's a lot of organizations that are probably pretty jealous of the way St. Louis has handled their business the past like decade. Alumni love it there. They seem to know when to sell. They seem to know when to buy. They got a good pulse on their team. Did they have some weird coaching hires there for a while? Yeah, they did some really weird coaching hires, but they seem to like figure it out. And they got, I don't know if he's going to still be their guy. I think he's still under contract for a while. That'd be more a question for you. But let's get it. Yeah.
That's it. Like just a final piece. Berube is coming back next year. We kept Steve Ott and another fella, but Craig McTavish is out. One of the assistants, Mac, is gone, and another assistant. But I mean, can't undercut. And let's make this a segue. Can't undercut the fact that Jim Montgomery was a hell of an assistant for us.
Hell of an assistant.
And he's had a pretty good year this year, I think.
I would say record-setting. I would say record-setting year.
I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
What a story.
We're heading into the playoffs here, gang, and we're just going to cut right into it. We're going to tell you the first-round matchups, which you can find anywhere, but we're going to tell you who we think and why we think that, and we're going to try to keep it nice and tight, as I said. We got bedtimes. We got things to do. You've got places to be.
You got places so
let's
just, to be.
Let's start with the record-setting Boston Bruins and those upstart former president trophy tabby cats that are they had a taste of being the favorite last year, and now they're going to get a taste of being the underdog against the favorite. Who do you got? Boston versus Florida.
Boston six. Like Boston, like this Florida storyline and their fans, y'all are pathetic. Like pathetic. You have had one of, like, again, no slouch of a team last year, one of the highest scoring teams in NHL history. I if I recall correctly, I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure they were popping off. It felt like six goals a game every other game. Did they play defense? No. So you're these underdogs now? No, think about the fall from grace you had from President's Trophy, record setting, Jonathan Huberdeau, most assists by a left winger. Yeah, you got Matthew Tkachuk. I love Matthew Tkachuk. He is bringing you guys into the fight every game. But you guys still went from the best team to, like, barely squeaking in and going to get pumped by the Boston Bruins. Pumped.
I want it so bad to pick the Florida Panthers. And I think in many other years, I would have gotten spicy and gone with them. But let's keep in mind the fact that Boston set the record for most wins in a season.
They have two number one goalies.
They only lost 17 games all year. 17. And only 12 of those in regulation.
That's the same amount of overtime losses Calgary had.
Yeah, so I think outside of the desire to get spicy, I'm saying Boston in five. So, yeah, Boston in six for you.
Boston six.
All right, let's just move right on we've got Carolina, the other top seed in the East, hosting the New York Islanders. What are we thinking here?
I'll let you go first on this one. This one was like a big stump for me.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think I was trying to talk myself into this one. And I think that I'm disappointed. Carolina's had a great season. Just an absolutely great season. Let's not forget, one of the best teams in the league this year. And I'm trying not to carry with me the disappointment that must be there with Patches not being able to, well, coming back and then immediately blowing up again and being gone for the year and probably forever. And then Svechnikov he's gone though too. Like, I think I've struggled and I see that I'm still got that hanging over. But at the end of the day, I look at this team and they still put it together and they're still pretty darn good. And then I look at they're playing the New York Islanders, and I think the Islanders game is going to be a little bit better for the playoffs, but I don't think that they're there. I got Carolina in six.
So this is that, like, that trap one, right? You got the Islanders big. They have a great goalie, Sorokin. He's underappreciated, I think, in the league in the standpoint of, like, goalie talk, right? Like, I don't think he gets appreciated about how good he really is. They've been there. They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're a tough team. They're old. They're veterans. But you know who else is, like, constantly in the playoffs every year? The Carolina Hurricanes. And without Svechnikov, without Pacioretty, you know who still has more firepower? The Carolina Hurricanes. They also have three really good goalies. Yeah, is Ranta, like, a really, really good goalie? No, but he's had a good year. I'm gonna take them in seven. I'm gonna take Carolina in seven. I think the Islanders are gonna scratch, they're gonna claw, they're gonna fight. I can't bet against Carolina. I can't and I won't. That's, I'm sticking to the script. Carolina, seven, give it to me, lock it in.
All right. So let's see. We're both on the same page so far. We both got, like, Boston, we both like Carolina. We're not too far off in the games. Nothing crazy, nothing too wild there. Let's go to a rematch from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto Maple Leafs, Toronto,
Yeah.
Canada Maple Leafs
Yeah.
against the Bay of Tampa Lightning.
Give it to me. I'm so excited.
It's Toronto in six.
Oh,
and you know why it's Toronto in six? Because if it goes to seven, it's Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Toronto in six. They do it. They get it done. I just, you know, they don't have that. The fans still stink of that sadness. Sorry, it's true. But
Yeah.
this team doesn't feel like the same old Maple Leafs. They don't even feel like the same Maple Leafs from the last 2 years. They just they don't I don't I don't feel like they're overconfident. I don't feel like they're you know, inexperienced. I think this is the year. I think they've got some excellent pieces in there. The work that Dubas did at the for the trade deadline was chef's kiss. I got them in six, and this isn't just because I you know, hate on Tampa Bay and I picked them to miss the playoffs altogether, and they proved me wrong. They're obviously still a great team, but I think that, you know, this is going to be this is Toronto's finally getting out of the first round. You can
You know,
bet on that.
they got Mark Giordano, TJ Brody, Mr. Flames legend himself, Cal Yarncroak. And I'm still taking Tampa.
Oh.
I'm still taking Tampa. I'm taking Tampa in seven. And you know what? The biggest, I love what Dubas has done. I love it. Goaltending. I just think, you know what? Everybody's talking about Auston Matthews scoring 40. Braden Point scored 50. Who's talking about Braden Point scoring 50 goals? Nobody. Like, that's the quietest 50-goal year I've ever seen. Or, like, heard, because I haven't heard anything. I saw one little graphic, and I was like, what the frick? Nikita Kucherov. 100 and what? 13, 112 points, something like that? Third in the league? Andre Vasilevsky is a star. He is a playoff preformer. John Cooper, no slouch. They have the grit. They have the sniping. They have everything. They are proven winners. And I know, Matt, I know you want to write these boys in the Bay off. But they, you know what? They write back. Sorry, I had to use a Geno Smith line there. I'm taking Tampa. I'm taking Tampa Bay. I want Toronto to win. I feel like those fans deserve it. I feel like we need them to win in the sense that the media might let off just a little bit, right? Like we,
yeah.
But Tampa's just done it, been there. They're gonna do it again, right? They pay the refs off, 100%. I'm going Tampa in seven. I'm going Tampa in seven.
Oh, there we go. There we go. We're finally our first. Disagreement. Maybe not our last. Let's wrap up the East.
Oh, I'm excited for this one. This one is the best one.
This could be, at least on paper, in terms of pure anticipation, it might be the best matchup in the entire first round. And I don't say that lightly, because there are a lot of just absolute bangers. But the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers, man, this is a tough one. I actually, like, look, even looking at my notes and like running through this, I still haven't filled it in.
Yeah.
I'm a big Nico Hischier fan. I've been, you know, I really, really like what they've done. I love the success that they're having bringing over Timo Meier, even though it hasn't quite clicked. You know, there's still lots of time. Those Rangers, man, those Rangers. Those Rangers, the top two lines.
Insane.
So good. And then you've got the third line, the so-called kid line, that, you know, they're not big regular season guys, but if they can do what they did last year in the playoffs, watch the F out. They're no joke on defense. They've got a little guy back there in the crease. You may have heard of him. Igor Shesterkin. He's great.
Igor is a stud. He's
so good. And as much as I know where my heart wants to go, I
Yeah.
cannot bet against these New York Rangers. I'm going to say seven, but I think it's Rangers and seven.
It's in, like, what a matchup. You got the Rags and the Devils, you know what I mean?
You got to stop listening to those Devils podcasts.
Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad, Patrick Kane, Panarin, Trocheck, Tarasenko. That is, if that's not circumvention or whatever it is, like, I don't know what else is. Like, what, like, that is insane how that is possible. Like, that is cheating just in plain sight. You know what I mean? Like, that is just crazy to me that that is allowed. But I'm going to take the Devils. I'm going to do it. They have set records in regular season wins. Jack Hughes is the highest scoring Devil now. They have prospects up the yin-yang. They've got good goaltending this year. Now, have they kind of fallen off a little bit? Yeah, they've kind of fallen. They were on a stretch like no other during midseason, right? How many did they win in a row? I can't even remember, but it was crazy. They have that Luke Hughes, you know, Jack's younger brother. Did you see that movie did the other night in overtime? Insane. Yeah. It was nasty. Like, no young hockey player should be able to have that confidence to pull it off in his, like, what, third or second NHL game? Like, wild. Taking the Devils. There's got to be some upsets. And I don't think I would classify the Tampa one as an upset over Toronto. I feel like those are two really evenly, like, even teams. I think this one would be an upset, especially for the Rangers when they went out and got Patrick Kane and Tarasenko. Not like the biggest trade chip, the two biggest trade chips, like, offensively, right? Other than Timo Meier, I guess you could say. I'm taking the Devils, and I'm gonna Devils in seven. Devils in seven. Devils lock seven. It in.
Okay. All right.
Rock, baby. We're gonna be partying in the Rock. I'm gonna be like, yeah, Devils.
We'll wrap that up. We both like the Bruins. Well, we don't like the Bruins. We see them winning. We both got Carolina winning. Split on the Rangers and Devils, and split on Toronto and Tampa. Let's see how things fare when we go a little west. Let's start with the playoff matchup that was decided tonight, time of recording, emphatically by Nate the Great. Sorry, Alex. We've got the Colorado Avalanche and the Seattle Kraken. I think this is probably going to be one of those sneaky upset picks that a lot of people are going to get on to, because Seattle's had a really great year. They're no slouch. They're not, you know, they're a wild card, but not by that much. They just barely missed being in the divisional matchups there. And they've just been not unstoppable, but just wave after wave after wave, they keep coming at them. They don't have the superstar that some of the other teams have, but they just keep coming. And despite all the horrible things I've said about Martin Jones and Philip Grubauer, they've played reasonably well for the most part. I think this is going to be a really popular upset pick. Not with me, mind you. I've got Colorado in five.
What did Daryl Sutter say last year? I was just trying to look at, like, when Colorado Avalanche was, I think it was after Christmas, was not even in the playoff hunt, and they just won the whole freaking conference, which is wild. Like, they were out of the wild card, and they went on a crazy run, and now they're playing Seattle first round. And what did Daryl Sutter say? He said, whoever plays Colorado round one is a waste of 8 days, right? And that's 100% true, because you know what? They're going to just pound this team. They've done it. They have, like, superstar players. Gorgiev has been a fine, like, replacement to Kemper. I think he's been great. Kale McCarr, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen. Yeah, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. You know what? I'll go six. I'll go six. I'll make it. I'll make it. I think I'm going to have to work for it a little bit.
What is actually just remind me think of this. This doesn't really change anything for me. Yeah, I'm just confirming. Landeskog is going to miss the playoffs, right?
Yeah, that's a huge blow.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, and I think that makes it so that if Landeskog was expected to come back at any point, or if he had come back, I think Colorado becomes a favorite in the West. They're still, for me, favorite to send Seattle to the golf course in the first round. But yeah, I don't think it's just tough to see them making the noise they did last year. So we both like Colorado over Seattle. Feels like a safe pick. I wish one of us had been a little bit riskier there, but let's go over to the team that won the West somehow, the Vegas Golden Knights and the Jets of Winnipeg.
Yeah, I would like to fix what I said. I meant they won their division, not the conference. My bad.
Yeah.
My bad. They almost did it, though. They almost did it.
Twigs, the listeners.
2 points. 2 points.
The listeners know. To listen to how you say things, not what you say. It's the passion and the entertainment in your voice, not the words you choose to use.
You know what? I got some phrases. I got some good phrases.
Yeah.
You didn't think dog water was a common phrase.
It's not. I just found out that it wasn't specifically your only phrase. Yeah, it's still not common, and it's not catching on. So, Vegas, Winnipeg, man. I think that if any other team that made the playoffs was playing Vegas in the first round, I think I'd be inclined to take them. Not to be disrespectful to Vegas, but I, no matter which way I look at that team, I don't understand how they've been as successful as they have been. Kudos to them. And so for me, I'd love to pick against them, but I just don't see it in Winnipeg that really kind of stumbled into the playoffs. I think Winnipeg is, and their performance going down the stretch is one of the main reasons that Calgary had a chance until the very end. And for anybody that's just listening, I did a very, over the top air quote there about Calgary having a chance to get in the playoffs. Winnipeg, I mean, they've got Hellebuck, and he's fantastic, and I could see him stealing a game, but I don't even think it's going to be more than one. And I'm going to say Vegas in five.
Vegas in five?
Yeah.
Wow. Because I'm over here about to like rip off this shirt, and it says J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 baby. Yeah, man. There's some passion in that town. There's some passion. Let's not forget upset superstar Pierre-Luc Dubois. Upset the Tampa Bay Lightning just a few years back. They have who should be the Vezina winner, because basically he's carried this team on his back from day one.
Yeah, I think he played 83 games this year.
He's probably just, yeah, never mind. But yeah, he's incredible. I look at Vegas and I go, how did this team just win? Like, how did they win the West? Like, they Jack Eichel, cool. Like, he didn't even... It wasn't that great of a season. Who's their goaltender? Quick, Brossoit, Logan Thompson. You know what I mean? Like, cool. How did this team win? I have no faith in Vegas. Cool. You've been here before. You've done all that. Oh, all of a sudden, Mark Stone is healthy. Freaking fix these stupid cap rules, man. That's BS. It's just just ridiculous. But I'm taking the Jets. There's got to be an upset. I think they are a big team. They are a tough team. They aren't fast. I'll tell you that. Like, they aren't a fast team, but they're big. They're tough. They love to get into it. They have a superstar goaltender in Connor Hellebuck. They got Josh Norrissey in the back end there. I'm taking the Jets. I think it would be sweet to see a Canadian team go farther than this stupid freaking Vegas team that's been gifted everything. But yeah, give me the Jets, baby. J-E-T-S. I just misspelled the Jets. Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, we're going to have to make a gif out of that.
Yeah. 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 All right. That was awesome. I'm as red as a tomato right now. Okay. Next one. Next one. Holy shit, that was embarrassing. Okay.
Let's go on to the the Dallas Stars and the Minnesota Wild. This is going to be a great series. Top three series. I think for sure this round, two fantastic, well built teams. I mean, I certainly didn't say that at the start of the season or many parts of the season, but here we are. We've got the results. I mean, Minnesota's just getting it done. I am flip-flopping back and forth on them because I like what they're doing and I feel like they've got great momentum. And then I remember how much of a dirtbag Jarrett Spurgeon and Ryan Hartman are. And I can't support that. But I'm not very comfortable picking against them, but I will do that here because I think Dallas has a great mix. I don't know that Dallas is going to be this good next year, but I mean, that's just the Dallas story these days anyways. Like, are they going to be a top team or are they going to be a garbage team? They're going to have the exact same players, but you don't know. But I think there's going to be, they've had a great season. They've got an excellent goaltender. They've got a lot of talent and a lot of experience through the lineup. And I think with such a heavy veteran presence, I think they're going to be able to kind of use that and keep that as a motivating factor, more so than I think most other teams for me. And so I'm going to take Dallas over Minnesota in 7 games.
I'm with you. I'm taking Dallas in 7. It could actually even be 6. I like, let's not forget the performance Jake Ottinger did last postseason. He basically almost stole that series from Calgary, like on his own. Like, it was wild. One of the greatest goaltending performances in postseason history. It was incredible. He was outstanding. I think Jason Robertson got better. Although, thank you for slowing down, Jason Robertson. You won me $40. That was fantastic. That was the smartest bet I've ever made. Against a really confident guy. Hey, Mitch. Thanks very much, bud. They're big. They're fast. They're mean. So is Minnesota. I just think Dallas is a little bit better. They're a little bit deeper at center. I'll take Dallas's goaltending as well, which seems like really rude to say to Flower, you know what I mean?
Flower's not even the starter in there.
It's it's Gustafson, right?
Gustafson. Love Flower. Gustafson's had a fantastic
hell of a season, but yeah, I'll take I'm gonna take I'm Dallas in six.
All right. That brings us to our last series here. And this is a repeat of last year. I don't know, man. Wow. Last year, the Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings met in the playoffs, and it was a shoe-in that Edmonton was going to win that series, right? Like, they were coming in there. They were the big dogs, and LA gave them grief. LA slowed them down, dragged them into the mud, and made them earn every single inch. And there were moments in that series that I think even the most devout Oiler fan was worried and was uncertain of the outcome. Edmonton did get by them, and Edmonton looks like a beast again this year. Arguably better. I think Edmonton is a better team this year than they were last year. Which is crazy to say.
Yeah.
But so are the Kings. The Kings are much better than they were last year. They've got a lot more talent. A lot, and the talent that they had has progressed, and this top talent that they had is just still getting it done. Timeless Kopitar and Forever Doughty are just still out there. And
it's incredible.
Unbelievable. I mean, obviously the biggest question mark in this series is goaltending, because mm-hmm. Los Angeles flipped all their goaltenders at the playoff, at the trade deadline. Like, who does that? Yeah. Who gets rid of all of your goaltenders for new goalies? That's amazing. But it's worked out for them. Edmonton, not the goaltender that they thought they would be coming into the playoffs with, leading the way, but Skin Dog has had a great season, and so that is what it is. I'm gonna get spicy, and I'm gonna say the Kings in seven. It's crazy, and you know, when I look at the team, I think that this is one of the best Oilers teams that Connor McDavid's ever been a part of. Obviously, him and Draisaitl had record-setting years this past season, but man, LA nearly got them last year, and they're better.
Yeah,
and so I don't know. I want to put a wild upset. I want to put a crazy one out there. I don't want to go too safe. So let's get crazy. I'm going to say LA in seven.
That's fair. And just a little bit, like, to add, maybe help you, you know, go through this. Korpisalo is 3-5 in the postseason. 3-5 on a Columbus team. Not sexy, eh? Not great. But get this. His goals against were 1.9. That's incredible. Like, that's incredible. So he's getting no run support. His save percentage in the postseason is 0.94. That's amazing. So if he gets some run support, if he gets a little bit of run support, which the LA Kings seem to give a lot of run support, the Fiala trade has been great. Their prospects have all developed into really good players. Kopitar's still a star. Doughty's all of a sudden really good again, right? Yeah, I just can't bet against Connor McDavid.
No, it's a foolish thing to do.
I just can't. Trust me, I was looking up. This was the toughest one. This one was, like, super tough, because I'm like, again, I just watched it last year. Again, yeah. LA can, like, they played him really well defensively. They play big. They're tough. Kopitar has won it, done it. Doughty's won it, done it. Jonathan Quick, was he great? No, he wasn't great, but either was Mike Smith. I think Skinner's an upgrade. I do. Yeah. I think Skinner's an upgrade on Mike Smith. And this season, Connor McDavid's on. Like, he is on some rampage that I don't think anybody's gonna stop. It's very easy to see number 97 lifting the cup when everything's over. It's easy. Yeah. Like, Ekholm, great addition. Finally, Ken Holland, you did something. He's been fantastic. Like, he's been great. I hate saying this. I hate it. Like, I hate it. Freaking Zach Hyman. Amazing signing. Amazing signing. Year two, better than year one. Who would have thought? Evander Kane. Yeah, he had some crazy injury this year. He's taking a little bit to get going. So what? He's incredible. Nugent Hopkins put up 100 points. This team just broke the NHL record for the highest, power play percentage in a regular season at 32.4 or something like that. I can't remember the exact number, but it was that, because I saw them put that dumb little biker jacket on Glenn Gullitson. That guy's not a genius. I'm just saying, I watched him play Troy Brower on the power play for 2 freaking years. If I had Connor McDavid, I would run a successful power play. Sorry, I'm not trying to get an Oilers rant right now. Yeah, I'm not betting against the Oilers. I think it goes 7, and I think Connor McDavid is just going to take over.
It's worth pointing out as well that the Oilers come into the playoffs on a 9-0-1 run.
They are hot.
They're hot. They are hot. And I don't think that I'm excited for the series that it's going to be, because you've got Edmonton that has everything that you like. If you're an Oilers fan, you, if you don't think that this is going to be finally the year, then I don't know. Outside of maybe you're just a nihilist, I don't know what to tell you, because this team is the best team that Connor McDavid ever played on.
And it's because of Connor McDavid. Like,
yeah, but also like the pieces around him, everybody's hitting, everyone's playing well.
Career years,
it's yeah, like Kostin, Kastoff from St. Louis.
I love Clint Kostin.
He's playing so well for them. It's just, this is the player that, you know, was like I think it was a first round draft pick, like that.
Yep.
That we thought he was going to be. He's playing great with them, on the third line with Bjugstad. This is, I don't think this is going to be a fun game to watch. I don't think this is going to be entertaining. I think it's going to be on edge of your seat, but I think it's going to be, there's going to be moments. There's going to be moments of beauty, usually when Connor McDavid finally gets two or more inches of free space. It's going to be something special. I got to throw one out there. So I'm going to kick Kings in seven, and I'm going to eat my words right after this.
I think that's like the safest. How can I say it's the safest one when I just like sold Connor McDavid in this team? Everybody's like career years, but they play him so well. Like even the regular season games, Edmonton only beat him once, and it was recent, right? Like LA plays Edmonton really, really, really hard, and I'm excited to watch it. I'm super stoked. Give me the Devils one. Give me the Oilers one. And let's go, baby. Let's get that hockey. Do you want to talk like really quickly before I think we just did all our teams, about the firings that happened today?
Let's roll through.
Tis the season. What did they used to call NFL Black Monday or whatever, where everybody just got fired or blacklisted? I think they changed the name after a while. But shocker, Brian Burke and Ron Hextall fired, canned. Who could have saw that coming? Their big acquisition of Mikael Granlund at the deadline, really thought they it would push them towards the end, and almost did. They just couldn't do it. They also fired Dallas Eakins. You already talked about St. Louis's firings. There's going to be more to come. Were any of them a shock to you?
I think Eakins was a little bit, Dallas, because Anaheim was not expecting to be good, and they were awful. But I mean,
I feel like this is the typical, like, hey, we just need you to coach us like through this really, really rough patch. And then when we win this Connor Bedard sweepstakes, which, can we just point this out? Let's just get real romantic with this. This is why I love sports. Johnny Gaudreau left the Calgary Flames, left them. Pixie dust, Matthew McConaughey, you know, quote right there. Okay, maybe I'm not going to get this intimate. Left the Calgary Flames. Left them.
Yeah.
Said he was going to Columbus to win hockey games. And you know what? Goddamn right he did. He won the last game of the regular season for Columbus. You know what he did? He took them out of the best odds for Connor Bedard. He did that. That man. That guy. You know who's...
winner.
Yeah. He came to Columbus to win hockey games. So all you Columbus fans crying in the comment sections about, oh, we're never going to get Connor Bedard. You don't know yet. You still have a 13% chance, but I would rather a 25% chance. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big math guy here, but I would just say, you deserve that. You deserve that. You. That's all. That's all. I love it. Love it.
I'm glad we're able to fit your Johnny Gaudreau rant into the firings conversation. Just a natural little slide that right in there.
That's pretty good.
Well,
wasn't it?
we're on the topic. I might as well drop this little
nugget
dime here.
Okay, were any of the coaches shocked? Just Dallas? Just Dallas was?
I mean, yeah, just not like shocking, obviously, because the success wasn't there. But like, it's not like they were expected to be good, or they shouldn't have been, and it's not like, you know, they should be good next year. So for them to make that. I mean, you got to figure there either was like things had gotten to a point, because just based off of performance from the outside, it seems like it does make a whole lot of sense, because, you know, you're firing, you're still paying them. Why? Like, it must be something really bad. They want to go with a different voice, different route, or just not working out well there. Burke and the Hextall firing isn't surprising, because essentially, you know, I think Washington probably did a similar thing, but they just had less on the line that they were they thought they had one more good run in them. And I mean, I guess maybe they do next year, but both of them fell short there. And so, yeah, Berkey and Hextall thought they could make this happen, and the results weren't there. And I mean, at this point, outside of the fact that it's rumored that Philadelphia might be trying to bring Hextall back, I don't think there's any state or province or country that Ron Hextall is likely going to get work in outside of Pennsylvania.
First of all, that might be one of the worst GMs I've ever watched work. He is terrible. And how if he gets another job after this, that organization deserves that doom. I also forgot about Washington did fire Peter Laviolette, which was that one did shock me. That shocked me a little bit. Just because I don't think that team was built to win this year. I feel like they had the weird injuries. They did go get Kemper last year, but it just didn't feel like it. Like it, nothing went their way. Kind of.
What was their season. What was their trade deadline move?
I thought they sold at the deadline.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, because I think.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah, Orlov. They sold Orlov and they sold Hathaway to Boston. Yeah. And what a steal that's been for Boston. Yeah. Orlov's looked great, and so is Hathaway.
I think they thought that they had another year in them. I mean, they brought in Kemper. Like, you don't do that. They jettisoned two younger goaltenders who are both in the playoffs this year with different teams. Go figure. Yeah. Samsonov and Vanacek. And they brought in Kemper coming off the Stanley Cup. And good for Kemper for getting that paycheck. I think they thought they had another run in them. But good for them. For identifying very early on in the season that, listen, this is just the Ovechkin retirement tour, the chase for the great 99. That's all they're doing anymore. And so they don't need Laviolette for that. And he's probably not really interested in, you know, just being a sideshow.
Yeah.
Pay him to go home and he can go play, coach some hockey somewhere else.
Yeah, we won't keep this going on much longer. Washington will be interesting to watch this offseason, as well as Calgary, as well as St. Louis, as well as Ottawa. There's rumors like DeBrincat is not going to sign long term, so he could probably be moved. Kuznetsov has asked for a trade out of Washington. You have the Backlund asking for a trade. There's a lot of movement that could happen relatively quickly, especially before July 1st. So let's get ready for it. It's going to be exciting for the playoffs and for the other teams. Also to finalize the draft order. So those teams that do get, or that team that does get the honor of winning Connor Bedard.
The honor of Connor.
I haven't even heard that one before. Did you just make that up?
Right now.
Creative, creative guy. That's nice.
This is, I'll tell you right now, and maybe we can just, we'll leave on this thought. If Edmonton doesn't win this year, the next season, we can look forward to the prop bet of which Connor wins a cup first.
I'm excited. I feel like if Connor McDavid doesn't win a cup this year, we're closer to like, where the hell is Connor McDavid going to get traded to? Quick.
I think Connor's going to get real spicy, and we might see the McDavid villain phase if he didn't win a cup this year.
I'm ready for it. Like, could you imagine 150 points and you almost, give it to me. I'm ready.
Yeah. Either way, it should be really exciting. Can't wait to talk to you about it, my dude. And I can't wait to talk to all of our lovely, lovely fans out there about it. I guess that's it. We'll just keep talking. We won't stop. We wanted to have a quick episode, a short episode, and we've dragged it out again. So we did nip this in the bud. That is all for this week. Gang, thank you so much for listening. We'll have this out there before the playoffs, before the first round is over, that's for sure. Catch us on socials, catch up on the YouTube, catch us where all great podcasts are hosted. And you know, be good.